service today, especially those of you who are visiting with us. We're always delighted to have visitors here, and we're glad that you've chosen today to be here with us. As a church, we've been doing a series of messages to kind of help prepare us and equip us for a major kind of outreach that'll be taking place the first week of November. It's called My Hope America, sponsored by Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, and focused really much on a message that Billy Graham is delivering to America, just to share his hope for our nation. You know, he's lived a long life. He'll be 95 years old on the 7th of November. He's seen a lot of things in our nation, good and bad. And he sees this time as a very crucial moment in the history of America. And he wants to share his hope, his message, with the nation. And he's invited all of us as believers in Jesus Christ who've already committed ourselves to him to be Matthews on that occasion, to be like the Apostle Matthew, who in the gospel, after he received Jesus as his Savior, as he made a commitment to follow Jesus, we're told he threw a party. He had a big meal at his house, and he invited all of his friends, his tax collecting friends, others in his circle of influence that he had hung with prior to meeting Jesus, people who were classified as sinners, according to the gospel. But he invited them to his home to share in a meal. And he invited Jesus to come to his house in the presence of Jesus, and Jesus sharing and speaking and interacting with them gave them the opportunity to meet Jesus also. And what we want to do is open our homes to friends, neighbors, coworkers, other family, invite them in, share some food with them, to let them know ahead of time that you want them to view this program with you, watch the program. There'll be an opportunity then afterwards for you to share your story. How did you come to faith in Jesus, and what difference has Jesus made in your life? And then to invite them to pray, a simple prayer to invite Jesus into their hearts and into their lives. So it's a wonderful opportunity. It's a crucial time in our history, because I think for most of us, young or old, we've seen enough to know that this, in a sense, is not the America we grew up in. It's not the nation that had a love for God, where we were free to express our hope and faith and trust in Jesus Christ without being persecuted, without being told to be quiet. It seems like anything else can be said, but not anything about Jesus. And it's a crucial time. Which way will our nation go? And so I hope that you have been praying, and you will pray for neighbors and friends. We've been doing some training downstairs during the Sunday school hour. It's training that you can do at home using your computer. You can go to the website, My Hope America, and the training is there. You can sign up. We have some packets that are still available. If you would like to have them, you can do this in the next couple of weeks to prepare. So if you would like one, please see me. But we hope that many of you will be involved in that. One thing that I have found, regardless of what decision you might make, is that's a real encouraging kind of training to go through. It opens our eyes again to the simple truth that what we are doing is really about life and death. Somehow, I think, I know I have, and maybe you would agree with me, that over time we lose that sense of urgency. We don't recognize that the gospel of Jesus Christ is a life and death issue. And if we, as believers, are not out there revealing Jesus through our lives and through our words, there are people who will never hear the good news of Jesus Christ, even in America today. Statistics are probably about 8 to 10 years old now, but America was classified as the fourth largest mission field in the world just a few years ago. That there was so much apathy and so much unawareness to the true message of hope that is in Jesus Christ. That America, the nation that we say was founded on biblical principles, has become the fourth largest mission field in the world. So I hope that we all will take seriously this call to My Hope America. If we don't have folks into our home, at least we'll listen to the message and be encouraged that what we can do can make a difference. And so we've been looking at some aspects of sharing our faith, and we'll do that again this morning. I want to begin by reading from Matthew chapter 28, verses that are probably familiar to all of us, called the Great Commission. When Jesus, just prior to his ascension, is speaking to his disciples and giving them these important words. It says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" So let's bow together for just a moment of prayer. And I'm going to give a little time in there, some silence, and you can silently or audibly, you can name a name of someone perhaps that you are praying for to respond to the good news of hope in Jesus Christ. Let's bow. Father, we're thankful that you have called us together this morning, that we are here as those who profess faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful that we have a relationship with him, that we have come to understand that through his death on the cross, his burial and resurrection, we have eternal life when we place our faith and trust in him. That has made all the difference in who we are, and we want others to know the same. I pray, God, that in these weeks leading up to My Hope America, we may be praying and continue to pray for individuals that you have laid upon our hearts. And in this time, we just want to lift up some of those before you, asking that you prepare their hearts and give us that opportunity to share the reason for the hope within us. And so we pray for Kevin and Jennifer. Pray for Dave and Sue. Father, we thank you for these and many more that are upon our hearts. These are individuals who are very precious to you. You have made each one. You love each one. And you have a plan for their lives. And you have placed us in relationship with them. And we thank you, God, for the encounters that we have, perhaps daily, weekly, and for the opportunity to share the hope that is within us. Pray that their hearts would be receptive and that your will would be done, and that it would be a great time of rejoicing for the many who would enter into your kingdom, not just through this outreach, but through the outreach of the body of Christ. And for all you do, we'll thank you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, Mary. praying for Jason, what, almost a month now, or a little longer than that. And much to be done physically, but we thank God for this. Amen. Amen. Didn't throw me off, no. I wanted to share this morning, because sometimes we, you know, sharing your faith in Jesus Christ, it would sound like it ought to be something, well, I guess in a sense, guilt-wise. We know we all ought to do this, but for whatever reason, it seems to be, for some, the hardest thing in the world to do. You know, your mouth goes dry, your lips stick together, your tongue is stuck in your mouth, and you just can't get anything out when you know you should kind of take that opportunity that's before you to share your faith in Jesus Christ. You can plan it sometimes, and it seems like it just blows up. It doesn't happen the way you envisioned, and you sort of retreat. And I'm like that. I am nervous as I'll get out if I want to share my faith with Jesus Christ, with someone else. I can be fearful, and sometimes I can be absolutely silent. You know, I just don't do it. And so, you know, you may be like that. There may be times when you're just not as bold as you think you should be. I've been there and I've done that. I wish I could say that, you know, every time I talk to a person who, you know, I know or believe needs to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you know, I lead them to faith in Christ. I have to be honest, you know, sometimes it does happen. You know, someone will call and say, gee, I would like to sit down and talk to you. Can I come by the church? Can I come by the office? Sometimes, you know, they would come unannounced. You know, I need to talk to you. Could you pray with me? And in the course of the prayer, in the course of the conversation, you know, it's obvious that they don't really have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And we start talking about things and say, would you like to pray to receive Christ? Yes, you know, absolutely. You know, it's just one of those God things, you know, and it's like anything I would have prepared to say doesn't get said because the Holy Spirit has made that opportunity really, you know, ripe. But that doesn't happen every day. It doesn't happen sometimes weekly, even monthly, probably because I'm not out there looking for those kind of opportunities. That's why so much of what we want to be thinking about is the fact that, and I love this one illustration that came out. You know, sometimes people think of the church, you know, and Jesus saying, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. It's a picture of the church gathered around the bathtub and we're all fishing in the bathtub. But the problem is there's no fish in the bathtub. You know, rather the idea is that we ought to go out and start looking for some lakes and ponds, some streams to be fishing in, that somehow we expect the bathtub to be filled here in the building and we're just all going to start fishing. And that kind of convicts me, you know, that we don't have, I don't have enough relationships outside of the body of Christ. So it reminded me of a story that I wanted to tell, and this is a true story. I was one day, I'll say, at an establishment having lunch. And I was there with two missionaries who were at our church. And we were talking, and we're talking a little bit about things that we did, you know, just for some recreation and exercise. And the one guy said, well, I like to play tennis. Do you play tennis? Maybe we could get out and play tennis, you know, while we're here with you. And as we were talking about that, the waitress says, oh, you play tennis. My daughter plays tennis on the high school tennis team. And you know, we started talking a little bit about that, and I said, what high school does she go to? You know, and she told me, and I said, oh, that school's with, you know, in the district. My kids go to that school as well, and we had a little bit of a conversation, and then she went on and did her work, and we continued ours, and we had a good visit. Well, the next week, Jan and I went out to lunch. We went back to the same restaurant. And the same waitress was there, and she waited on us. And so I said, you know, Jan, this is, introduced her to the waitress. She waited on us last week when we had lunch here, and she remembered, and we talked. And said, you know, her daughter goes to the same school as our kids, and she plays tennis. And so we talked a little bit, and, you know, she'd stop by every now and then, and she'd talk a few minutes, and then she'd go. Well, I think we ate there one more time, and had kind of same kind of conversation. So I asked her a little bit about her husband, learned a little bit about what her husband did, and she told me, and, you know, we kind of talked about that. Well, came time that the kids were in the, I guess it was the conference county championships for tennis, and her daughter and her partner were playing doubles, and they were in the championship. So I went to the tennis match, and there she was, and she was surprised to see me, and she introduced me to her husband, and she introduced me to their daughter, and I watched the match, and you know, that was a little bit of an interaction, and then found out that the daughter played basketball, and she also played softball, and so that started, you know, I went watched her play basketball a couple of times and sat with them, and Jan would go, and over time, they said, well, why don't we have, you know, dinner together, and we would start going out to dinner together, and we would have them to our house, and they would invite us to their house, and we began the relationship. And it was a relationship built over time. And I'll just cut the story kind of shorter. It was well over a year and a half of interacting with them and spending time with them. Told them I was a pastor. They came and tried out the church. And they, you know, they had grown up in a different kind of faith tradition. It was certainly different than what they were used to, but they stuck it out. And they had some questions, and we began to interact a little bit about the questions. And the husband said, hey, you know, I've been invited to do this bike track thing, 150 miles over 3 days. Would you like to do it with me? Sure. Sure, I'll do it with you. What do we have to do? Well, he said, the first thing we have to do is train. Oh, all right, train? What kind of training? Well, we need to ride our bikes like, you know, 20 miles, 30 miles, 40 miles, up to about 50 miles a day so that we're ready to do this thing over 3 days. And so I said, yeah, I'll do that with you. And we would get up early in the morning and go out and ride our bikes. And I had a 3-speed at that time, a 3-speed. And where we lived was very much like Carroll County. There are lots of hills to go down, but you always had to come up a hill on the other side. And 3-speeds are really hard coming up a hill. But, you know, we did it, and I pressed on. My friend had a 10-speed. And then finally, the company that he was a part of, there was a larger group that was doing this trek, and so a bike shop gave each of them a bicycle, you know, 10 bikes given out to 10 of the riders. And so we would switch off that new bike. It was a 12-speed. We would switch as we practiced. And then finally, he said, I'm going to buy my own bike. And he bought one, and he gave me that 12-speed. So I still have it today. But we practiced, and we worked out to get ready for this. And we would ride in the morning, and then we would stop at a 7-Eleven and have coffee, and we would talk. And he would ask me about my dreams of being a pastor and being a minister, and I would ask him about his dreams and what he was doing. And we got to know each other, and we spent a lot of time together. You know, and I still, you know, I'd share my faith in Christ and how Christ could make a difference, and he would listen, and he was gracious. But, you know, I never got to the place where he would say, you know, I want that, and I want to pray to receive Christ as my Savior. He knew a lot about Christ growing up in the church and the tradition he was in, but he didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. We did the 150-mile bike trek, and we survived that. We had a great time. We did a lot of talking and all that kind of good stuff. But all that to say, then I had to move. And I moved, and I never knew if he had asked Jesus into his heart. Would he ask Jesus into his heart? What would happen? Well, they went to church a little bit after we moved away. But then about a year or two, I received in the mail a book, and it was from this guy. And he said, we also, they had moved down to Florida, and he said, we've been going to this church down there in Florida, and they've been doing a study out of this book, and it's really changed my life. And I wanted you to have a copy of it. And it was The Purpose-Driven Life. And I was excited about that. So I called him, and I said, you know, tell me more. And he shared with me that he had asked Jesus Christ into his heart. And he said, I want you to know it was that foundational work that you did that was so significant, that was so important. The fact that you took time to invest in our lives, you took an interest in my daughter, you took an interest in my wife and our whole family. We got to love you and your wife and your children. We spent time together. That was instrumental in bringing us to Christ. And occasionally we kind of keep in touch still. And he's very much involved in a Christian college helping to do fundraising and some other things. You know, but that didn't happen like that. It took time. And I wasn't even there to see the end result, if you will. So some of us will be sowing seeds in these days of preparation for My Hope America. Some of us will have the benefit of doing some watering on some seeds that have already been planted by other people. And some of us may just have that wonderful joy of being there at that moment when people respond to the gospel. They invite Jesus into their heart, and we'll see the fruit of efforts that many others have had a part in. But the real key is being a part of it, taking the initiative to get involved. And that's really what My Hope America is, a call to be involved in that. And I want to go back just to share a couple of things. When we think about, again, our nation, you know, it was about, 12 years ago, September, something very tragic happened in our nation. We didn't understand why and what and all of the wherewithal, if you will. And that Sunday, literally thousands of people flocked to churches across America, trying to make sense of what had happened, wrestling with issues of life and death and eternity. September 11th sort of rattled the foundations of America, and eyes were opened that we all, at some point in time, will face eternity. Are we ready to do that? I remember seeing something from the Brooklyn Tabernacle right there in downtown New York City, and they said that Sunday, September 16th, they had 700 people come forward to receive Christ as Savior. People that responded to the invitation to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I know that here in our community, you know, many of the churches were filled to overflowing, and I know that we had many visitors that day. But over time, the sense of urgency seemed to dwindle, and people really, you know, that once were interested in Jesus didn't seem to be as interested anymore, because things sort of returned to a normalcy, if you could call it that, and the urgency didn't seem to be there. And as time passed, people's hunger for God diminished. And that's kind of where we are today. You know, we've had some wake-up calls again, if you will, with the financial crunch that took place a few years back, and it's been lingering on. And we see things that are going on in our nation, and we wonder, what's this all about? But rather than taking it as a wake-up call, we seem to just want to continue to go on as usual, business as usual. But for those of us who know Jesus, we should have our eyes open and recognize that this is an opportunity for us to share our faith in Christ. Last week we used 1 Peter, and Peter says we must always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks us to give the reason for the hope that we have. And that's literally what Billy Graham is asking us to do. Be prepared to give people an answer for the reason for the hope that is within us. And so November 7th is an opportunity for us to do that. opportunity to share Christ with our family, our friends, neighbors, and co-workers, any and all who are in the sphere of our influence, we will have an opportunity to share with. And I hope that we will take that opportunity. What we've seen in our training, for those who have been a part of it, and some of you have done it online, it's really about sharing what we're excited about. And I thought last week's lessons were so key because it reminded us it's hard to share something that you yourself are not experiencing. If we ourselves are not excited about our relationship with Christ, it's hard to share Christ. If we are not living as we should be living, it's hard to share Christ. And so one of the first things that we need to do is to make sure that our lives are in alignment with the truth of God's word. That doesn't mean that we need to be perfect. It means that we need to be transparent, and it means that we need to be humble. Humble to admit that I still falter, I still sin, I still stumble. Sometimes I willfully sin and stumble. I know what I should do, but I don't do it. I choose to do the opposite, and that makes me guilty of sin. And I need to confess. I need to say, Lord, I have sinned against you. Will you forgive me? I need to be transparent, and I need to be humble. And I need to pray for the filling of God's Spirit to give me the joy of the Lord to be my strength so that I can live each day in a way that pleases him. And out of that living of life, which I refer to as the abundant life, then that gives me something to share with other people so that we can share our faith out of that treasure, if you will, of living in relationship with Christ. So we want to be prepared to share. And what we want to share simply beside our story, and I've already done this a little bit with you so you know, we want to share what we were like before we met Jesus Christ. What was our lives like before we became a Christian? Were we someone who was fearful? Were we someone who came from a life of brokenness? Were we someone who came from a life of, you know, real upheaval in some way? But God, through Jesus Christ, brought peace. He brought rescue. He gave us a way out. He gave us the peace that passes all human understanding. We want to share our testimony so that people will see what we were and see what we now are in Jesus. And that just simply, again, is sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And in that, which is so key, is that we want to make sure we share that we know that we were sinners. There was nothing that we could do to save ourselves. But God sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to do what we couldn't do. He lived a perfect life. And he died on the cross, dying a death he didn't deserve to die. But he willingly died, taking my place and your place, so that through his death, his burial, and his resurrection, we would have eternal life. And we know that we have experienced that eternal life. We have that hope in Christ. And we want to share that with people. That's the greatest news and the greatest story that was ever told. That's really what My Hope America is about. You and I sharing our faith in Jesus Christ with family, neighbors, friends, co-workers, as many people as God brings across our path that we will take time to invite to our home. And so we want to do that. And I wanted to just close off by saying, you know, again, I like the illustration I used last week, but we're not a hit squad. You know, God doesn't send us out to beat people up, to beat them over the head with 2x4s. Sends us out to love our neighbor as ourselves. because we love God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And so as we love people and show them the way, we earn the right to tell them, to share with them the reason for the hope that is within us. So we want to be passionate in our sharing, but we want to do that in a way that proclaims the love of Jesus Christ. We want to take the opportunities that God presents to us. Again, sometimes, you know, we try to orchestrate, we plan it all out, but God has a way of bringing people into our lives kind of out of the blue. And maybe we just need to stop and say, God, is this an opportunity for me to share? And yes, it is an opportunity for me to share and to share the reason for the hope that is within us. Because it's not just about me or other people, Brian, other people in ministry, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. It's all of us. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says that we all have been given this ministry of reconciliation. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed this message of reconciliation to all of us so that we have become Christ's ambassadors, and he is making his appeal through us. So I hope that we will take seriously that invitation to be a part of the gospel outreach of the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's going to be exciting to see what God does. This is one more opportunity of God calling out to the nation, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He will provide that rest through his Son, Jesus Christ, who died that we might have life. And so I pray that My Hope America will challenge us, will excite us, encourage us to be vocal about our faith. Let's pray. Father, you have given us life to be alive in this time. For us, it probably is really no different than it was for Esther so many years ago when she was told, for such a time as this, she was born and she was put in this position of power and authority and influence. Here we are in this year, 2013, at this crucial time in our nation's history when the foundations seem to be crumbling and we cry out and we wonder what has happened to the nation that we love. And yet you have placed us here for such a time as this, not to whine over what has been and what should be, but to cry out to you for the power of your Holy Spirit to be poured out into this day and into this time to bring life and hope and rescue to a people that are lost and perishing without you. Father, I pray that our hearts might be so in love with you that we will recognize that we want to share that love with others. Because we want all, just like you do, you want all to know. You don't want anyone to die, but all to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. I pray that would be so much of a passion in our own hearts with everyone that we see and talk to on a day in and day out basis, that we might let our lives reflect you, that you will open doors for us to share. May this season be a season of great harvest, because it's your desire to build your kingdom. And use us, Father, to that end we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.